In today's gospel, John the Baptist identifies Jesus as the Son of God. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John further testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Times are tough. Times are tough. The Christmas tree's in the dump, for most of us anyway. Christmas lights are down, for some of us anyway. The holiday parties are long behind us. All of the Christmas gifts, nice as they were, are someplace in a drawer, oftentimes. And for the little kids, you know, some of their presents are already broken. Times are tough. And then today, the church tells us that we're entering ordinary time. What could be worse than that? We're 3 months from spring, and we're told we're entering ordinary time. Times are tough. Unless ordinary time isn't so ordinary after all. What if ordinary time is very special in its own way? And I think we can see that specialness if we look at the way St. Paul today addresses the Christians as he's writing now to the letter, his letter to the Corinthians. But, you know, when he writes those letters, he's writing them for all of us. So he says to the Corinthians, "Grace and peace to you, to you who are called to be holy." When he writes some of his letters, he'll address those letters in this way. For example, he'll say, "To the saints of the church in Rome, you are called to be holy. You are called to be saints who are saints." Being holy and being saints for St. Paul are the same thing. And he's not using that term loosely. He's not using it the way we normally use it. You know, when we think of a saint, we're thinking of somebody whose life was so outstanding, was so marvelous that we hold them up as a model of virtue. But when he uses the word holy or saints addressing us, what he's saying basically is, you who follow Christ. If you truly are following Christ, then you are becoming holy, you are becoming saints. So, what if ordinary time, the time we're entering into now, is special because that's where we work out our holiness. That's where we become saints. The everyday, the ordinary, the humdrum, the commonplace, every day, that's where we work out our holiness. So it's special. Remember in the gospel, when Jesus goes up on the mountain of transfiguration, Peter and James and John are with him, and he's transfigured before them. That was a marvelous moment a mountaintop experience. And remember, Peter, James, and John want to stay up there. They say, let us stay up here, Lord. We'll build three tents here, and we'll stay up here and dwell with you. And what does Jesus say to them? No. We have to come back down the mountain now and continue the work we've been doing, that everyday work of preaching and teaching. We've got to go back down the mountain and continue that, the everyday. And so I think the Lord is teaching us, as St. Paul is teaching us today, that it's in the everyday that we become holy. The commonplace, the boring old same stuff, every day. That's where we work out our holiness. You know, in the gospel today, John the Baptist points to Jesus and he says, there is the Lamb of God, there's the Son of God. And he tells his own apostles, his own followers, follow him. Well, that's what we have to do, follow the Lord. But where do we follow him? We follow him mostly in the everyday, the commonplace. We have our mountaintop experiences. You know, you have a family gathering during the holidays. You don't do that very often. That's a wonderful experience. But you can't stay there. You got to come back to the everyday. It's in the everyday where we work out our holiness. Every day where we follow the Lord. Every day where we become saints. Now, when we do that, when we follow the Lord every day, what is it that he asks us to do, basically? If we summarize it up as best we can, what's he ask us to do? Well, we know he taught us very clearly. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And where do we do those things? Today, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, every day. That's when we do those things. And when we do them, that's where we become holy. Ordinary time is holy time. So look for a moment at those two things. Love the Lord your God above everything else. How do you know that you do that? You know, sometimes I think we know it only in critical situations. We prove it, let's say, and only in critical situations. Some years ago now, I knew a man named Dennis. Dennis ran a little computer business. He sold computers and took out contracts to service them. One day, an organization came to him with a very powerful, lucrative offer. They planned to set up a series of throughout the state of New Hampshire of what they were calling reading rooms. They were going to buy out storefront properties and set up computers in these reading rooms and have representatives of the company there and so forth. They were going to, I think it was something like 100 computers in 10 different reading rooms, and then the service contracts. It was a very lucrative thing. One problem. You know who the organization was asking him to do it? The Moonies. Remember the Moonies back some years ago? Sung Young Moon and the Unification Church. Remember, we see them in the airports with their robes on, passing out flowers and everything to people. They wanted to set up these reading rooms to attract more followers. And he said to himself, you know, if I do that for them, lucrative as it might be for me, I'm going to enable them to raise money. I'm going to enable them to attract members to their cult. I'm going to enable them to propagate what I think are their false teachings. So he didn't do it. You love the Lord your God first, above your business success, above everything else. Love the Lord your God. A critical situation for him, where he proved that God came first. Then, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we know that by the word neighbor, Christ means everybody. But sometimes I think we forget that the first neighbor that you have and the first neighbor that I have are the members of our own family. You know, we think of our neighbor, it's kind of easy sometimes to love, be concerned about, take care of strangers. You know, you see an ad on television about some agency that needs help because of all these situations. You send them a donation, you feel good about that, and you should. But it's a one-time thing, you know. What about the people that you're living with every single day? Your husband, your wife, your children, the people you work with every single day. They're your first neighbors. When Jesus says, love your neighbor, he's saying, he's pointing you to those people first. Take care of those people first. And that's not quite so easy, is it? Every day, the same people, same issues, same problems. You know that little wonderful book, Children's Letters from God? One little boy wrote, I think his name was Nathan, who was like 6 years old, and he wrote, Dear God, my mummy told me that you created everybody. When you created my sister Annabelle, were you having a bad day? You see, that's the point, you know. The people living in our own house, day by day by day, taking care of them, loving them. That's not so easy sometimes. You know, you might have heard before this image of two porcupines. It's the winter. They need heat. So they want to come together to share their body heat. But the closer they get to one another, the more their quills start picking each other, right? So they get close, but then the quills pick each other, so they kind of have to separate a bit. But they can't stay separated because they need each other's heat. Well, that's sometimes the way it is in our families, you know. The quills that we have, our pride, our self-seeking, our selfishness, they poke the other people around us, and the other people's quills poke us. So it's easy to you know, keep them at a distance. Oh, another day with this one, another day with this one. But those are our first neighbors that we're meant to take care of in love. And when we do that, that's where we become holy. That's where we become holy every single day. So as we gather here this afternoon, let's remember that ordinary time really is not so ordinary. Because ordinary time is when we're given the opportunities every day, in the everyday commonplace humdrum day. It's there where we work out our salvation. It's there where we follow the Lord. And in following Him, it's there where we become holy. May God bless you.